All right. Good morning. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to start off with a couple of hymns this morning. Hymn number 361. Hymn number 361. Let's all stand as we sing.
Rise, O church, and lift your voices. Christ has conquered death and hell. Sing as all the earth rejoices. Resurrection hath us well. Come and worship, worship Christ the risen King. See the tomb where death had laid him, empty now its mouth declares. Death and I could not contain him, for the throne of life he shares. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the risen King. Hear the earth protest and tremble, see the stone removed with power. All hell's minions may assemble, but cannot withstand his hour. He has conquered, he has conquered, Christ the Lord, the risen King. Doubt may lift his head to murmur, scoffers mock and sinners jeer, but the truth proclaims a wonder, thoughtful hearts receive with cheer. He is risen, he is risen, now receive the risen King. We acclaim your life, O Jesus, now we sing your victory. Sin and hell may seek to seize us, but your conquest keeps us free. Stand in triumph, worship Christ the risen King.
Amen. Now we're going to sing hymn number 367, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today, hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high, hallelujah. Sing ye heavens and earth, victory, oh great, hallelujah.
Well, good morning. Isn't it a beautiful day? Man, Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday, the day we celebrate our risen Lord. He's alive, is he not? Amen. This month, month of April, is our Global Missions Month. Our theme for our Global Missions is going to be Striving Together. Those of you who are familiar with Faith Promise Giving, you know that we here at Beryl participate in Faith Promise Giving. And that's where we take a promise between you and God, where you give above your tithe. And 100% of that money goes to support missions here locally and globally. And it is a blessing. I know since we've been a part of it, I've seen many wonderful things happen. We've sent a team of people overseas to help build a church. We've been able to help missionaries in their needs medically and with vans and repairs. And it's all done by the grace of God. God has blessed us so much in our faith promise giving. This morning, we're going to talk about the resurrection of Christ and the Great Commission. And I hope you see by the time we get done studying this that without the resurrection, there would be no missions. Without the resurrection of Christ, there would be no gospel. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What a blessed promise. Like I said, this month we're going to move our focus, our attention to faith promise giving for missions. And where do we get our desire for missions from? Well, it starts with the resurrection of Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have heard the testimony of Matthew's gospel regarding the resurrected Lord's appearance to his disciples. It was in Galilee where they met with him on the mountain to which he had instructed them to go. At that time, the Lord Jesus declared that we have come to know what we have come to know as the Great Commission. Our resurrected Savior commanded disciples to make disciples of all nations. We are to teach. We are to share the good news. We are to be witnesses. Why is this resurrection of Christ so important? Well, his resurrection is important because he is not dead. He is alive. We must remember that he promised to be with the disciples always to the end of the age. If Christ had not rose from the dead, then this would not have been possible. Christ had to die for our sins. It was his blood that was shed for remission of our sins. The theological and practical implications of the Great Commission testify to the fact that the resurrection of Christ resulted in his inauguration of what we know as Christian missions. The resurrection of Christ is his mighty work. We must see the resurrection of Christ as absolute truth, and it is the center of preaching the gospel. Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no gospel. If Resurrection Sunday becomes merely just a ceremony, that is, an observance devoid or absent from any obedience to the Great Commission, then the church has denied the purpose of his resurrection. When this happens, we have ignored and we have disobeyed his command to go. So the first thing I want you to look at with me this morning, we look at Christ's resurrection. His resurrection is the driving force of missions. And we're going to let Scripture speak for itself. Just bear with me. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up immediately, and his feet and ankle and bones received strength, so that he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat at the beginning of begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement with what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." What are they doing? They're going out. They're sharing the good news of Christ. And in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear at all things, whether he says to you, 'And it shall be that ever so, who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.' Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel to those who follow, as many have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets, and now the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away from every one of you from your iniquities." They're preaching the truth. And then we see something here. Acts chapter 4. We see Peter and John arrested. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men who came to be about 5,000. Amen. All we have to do is speak the good news. People will hear. People are hungry. Verse 5, "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, their elders and scribes, as well as Annas and the high priest, Caiaphas," that guy. You know, I practice this before I read, and I still mess it up. "But John and Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power, by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well?' Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God had raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by your builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So we can see through the text how, because of his resurrection, the driving force behind missions. Our examples here, they keep preaching. They keep sharing the good news. They're being witnesses to what they've seen firsthand. Even when they're arrested and they're addressing the council, they're still proclaiming Christ. As a result of the preaching, around 5,000 people were saved. The Jewish leaders arrested them for the healing and the proclamation of Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. Slow down, Robbie. As the two apostles stood before the leaders to defend their actions, they again proclaimed the Lord's resurrection, openly declared that those leaders had rejected him. Then they went on to make a very clear statement regarding the significance of his resurrection from the dead, and there is salvation in no one else. No one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. His name is Lord. So we can see here the message of salvation provided to mankind to be proclaimed anywhere in this world. No matter where we go here in God's creation, we can proclaim the gospel to those who have not heard it, and even to those who have heard it. Listen here. When Paul wrote to these believers here in Rome, Paul said in Romans 1, verses 1 through 5, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, set apart, called out by God, to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with the power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. Paul believed that the gospel message to the nations must include the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It has to. We can see this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. It says, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The message of salvation to the nations is a result of Christ's resurrection. His resurrection is a key element of the gospel proclamation. It is the cause for missions and the content of the missionary message. My second point that I want you to notice this morning, Christ's resurrection and the universal scope of missions. Christ's resurrection and the scope of missions. Romans 10, 9 through 13 tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, Whoever believes on him, he will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul expands upon the gospel message and its relationship to the resurrection of Christ. He declares, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we can see here that this is a requirement for all people. Did you catch that? For all. In order to be saved, you must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's the gospel. This is for each and every single person. So we can see that not only is the resurrection of Christ what must be believed, but God makes that same demand for all people. How are people going to hear the message? We got to go. We got to go. We got to go out. Romans 10, 12 through 13 tells us, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This same message applies to everyone. I must have doubled my notes. So listen to these words from Paul as he directs the challenge of global missions. Romans 10, 14 through 17. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in Him who they have not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher? And how should they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must share the gospel. Paul's reference to Isaiah cannot have been any clearer in this implication that the Roman Christians should respond the way Isaiah himself responded when he said, here am I. Send me. Send me. Third point I want to point out this morning is Christ's resurrection, the foundational truth for missions. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19, we see the risen Christ, our hope. Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. I think Scripture speaks pretty point blank about this. Christ is the foundation. His resurrection is the foundation for missions. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, no gospel message brings hope. It's empty. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, no missions mandate carries any force or urgency. You see, if Jesus did not rise from the dead according to the Scriptures, then missionaries possess no mandate. There is no gospel and no personal faith for salvation. Can you imagine what life would be like today if we had to live by the Ten Commandments? It's impossible. It's impossible for me. I am so grateful that Jesus rose. I'm so grateful that He shed His blood for me. You know, we are to get up and shout aloud. From every mountaintop, from every housetop, from here in this church, from our steeple. Christ is risen. He's alive. But if we make that announcement and we don't actually believe in the resurrection of Christ, it's empty. To believe in the resurrection means that we have to believe in supporting missions. Please understand what I'm saying. I'm saying if you don't support missions, that you don't believe in Christ. I'm not saying that at all. But we are to do what God has called us to do. Through faith giving, we have an ability to help. It's above our time. It takes sacrifice on our part in putting faith in God, knowing that He will make this happen. Where do we get our money from anyhow? God gives it to us. I know I work hard for my money, and sometimes I mess up, like breaking a finger. But God gives me my ability. God gives me my strength. All I have to do is believe that Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I have to be obedient to the commandments. Jesus said, go therefore to every nation and disciple people. Witness to them. What does Easter Sunday mean to you? I hope you see the connection between Christ's resurrection and the call to the Great Commission that goes out to every believer. Every believer. We should all be burdened for the lost soul. A lot of us have full-time jobs. Brother Robbie, I ain't got time to go out and witness. We have more time, we think. We do. We make time to watch our favorite TV shows. We make time to go play our favorite sport, to do our favorite pastime. We read the example of John and Peter. They never quit. They never quit. Everybody they walked by, they were sharing the good news. They healed in the name of Christ. Even when they were arrested and they was at the council, y'all do me whatever you want. Christ is alive. Right? It's because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ that we have a plan of salvation. That plan is made possible by only one way, and that is through Christ. His sacrifice. The shedding of His blood is a propitiation for our sin. If only we would believe. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I challenge each and every one of you to pray about what the resurrection of Christ is and how its connection to the call to missions is relevant and what it means to you. And as we go through this month focusing on missions, as we are striving together to spread the gospel to our community and out into the world, I pray that you will pray with us and that you will pray to God to see how He will use you in our faith promise giving. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for the empty tomb, God. Thank you for all the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of missions, Father. I'm so grateful that we're able to support our missions 100% with our money, Father, as it goes to meet the needs that they need to do your work, Father. You've always provided for your people. From the greatest to the least, Father, we all have a purpose in your kingdom. Thank you for this Easter Sunday. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know what time is it. 10:25. So we having choir practice?
Yes.
Are those of you in the choir, we're going to meet up here in the choir room. All right. Any other announcements? You're dismissed. We'll see you at the 11 o'clock service.